The Week in New Music, 2011 with Richard Kingsmill on Triple J.
Okay, one of the main members from TZU, Joel Listix, has done his very first solo album and he's with us right now on Triple J. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Hey, Richard. I'm very good. How are you?
Not too bad. This record, I guess the genesis of it is overseas.
Yes, the genesis is definitely in the travel. TZU had a break after Computer Love and I got a chance to go and live overseas, 6 months in China and 6 months in Europe, and I didn't actually intend to write a record. I had my laptop with me, but I ended up doing a lot of writing work to make a little bit of money, and I mean a little bit of money. And then I ended up writing music as a way to kind of distract myself from deadlines. So
when you took the break to go overseas, did you think, when you said you wanted to take a break from TZU or TZU were on a break, did you think that you also needed a break from music yourself?
Very much. I think all of us in TZU had reached a kind of level where we needed to just stop touring, stop, you know, going back into the studio and concentrate on life matters for a while. So that resulted in quite a few babies for the others, for me in travel.
Yeah, okay. There's a real depth of sound in this record. It's really amazing that you can do so much work when you're travelling around with a laptop overseas creating music like this.
I think it's because you have so much time on your hands when you're overseas. Those four-day train trips, you know, you need to do something. I think the laptop is like the new acoustic guitar. You know, it is a little self-contained instrument that you can really create everything with if you want.
Were the ideas coming thick and fast for you as well as you were in these new surrounds?
Yeah, really. The stimulation, like being in... there's one particular moment when I was on the train from Beijing to Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. It's a long train trip. It's 2.5 days and it's incredible landscape, and I remember writing parts of Heart Remains on that trip, and it made all kinds of sense to be writing music and seeing that kind of landscape from that perspective on a train, on a rickety train, like quite an old antique train at that. And
tell us what you were seeing. What was the scenery like?
The scenery as you come up through the northern part of China is quite mountainous, and that's where the water catchment is. And then as you get up further up into the mountains, you get to the steeps, and so it starts to spread out. There's really no trees. It actually reminds me a bit of the moon and a bit of Central Australia. It's vast, it's desolate. You look around and you think, there's this train station in the middle of nowhere, and yet there's a few people here, and there's, you know, children will run up to the train carriages and sell rocks and old Soviet badges, quite random little things. And I think the ratio of the population to the landmass, there's the least amount of people living in Mongolia than anywhere else in the world. So it really is pretty open.
Did you have a chance to get off the train at any point and feel like you could kind of just stop for a moment and sort of see what the civilization was doing there?
Well, yeah, on the way, I mean, not in Mongolia, on the way up, the train stops at the border town from China and Mongolia, and they actually have to change the actual size of the railway changes, so they have to make some adjustments to the actual train. It turns out there's 5 hours where you spend in this border town, and our train stopped at the town at about, I think, 1 a.m. and we went out in that town to the only nightclub. There was me and a friend, and there was about four other expats from various parts of the world who went to this sort of Chinese-Mongolian nightclub and danced to kind of Chinese hip-hop. There was a circus show. It was pretty bizarre. You know, everyone stood out quite a lot. So I guess, yeah, it was surreal more than anything.
I never did it for the money. I did it cause I had a lot of time on my hands. Now I've got plans to make more plans. All of my friends grew up and pushed prams. It hits you like bam, what's it all for? Music was my life, then life got ignored. Then I lost hope, then I got broke. And then all I wrote came out as old folk. There goes my genius, blink and you missed it. Loop up the chorus, learn how to whistle it. If you get an idea, try not to fist it. It's like God whispered something insistent. Try not to block it, try not to drop it. When you get your grubby little paws on it, you gotta rock it, rock it, you gotta rock it, rock it, you gotta rock it to the moon, get on it. And it might not mean that much to you, it means a lot to me, and it's got to be something strange and familiar. I still wanna feel it, I still wanna feel the music. As the days go by. As the days go by.
days go by.
Said, geek, you redefined dope. Plus, you had the presence of mind to rock the boat. Plus, you had some hits from the rhymes in your folder. Had a bit of shine and fell into a coma. Get back out there and do it all sober. Milk that shit until the cow falls over. Do it for the music, do it for the moment. Even if it never blows up, own it. Kids these days want posters on the walls. Friends on Facebook and ironic rap quotes. Me, I got bad jokes, personal anecdotes, songs for perennial underachievers. You want a revolution, move to Beijing. You want to get high and sing along, then join in. It's all good, mad props. The truth of the matter, salvation is ad hoc.
And it might not mean that much to you. It means a lot to me, and it's got to be something strange and familiar. I still want to feel it, I still want to feel the music. As the days go by, as the days go by.
It sounds like we're doing a bit of a travel diary at the moment, but all of this stuff is fed into the wonderful solo album called Voyager, which he's just released. And after China, the experience, I guess, was, well, the next major experience for you was France, it seems. And you lived there for, was it 6 months you lived in France?
It was about 6 months in Europe all up. And in Paris, I was living in Montpellier for about a month and then in Paris for about 4.5 months.
What did France give you?
It's pretty amazing. I think after living mostly in Beijing and then traveling and moving to France, there's such sort of extreme opposites. Being in Paris is such a indulgent sort of aesthetic, sensual place. And I had an apartment up in the 20th, and I could write in a sort of warm apartment, go out into these really amazing nightclubs and cafes, and I started to write a lot of music which was a lot more decorative and electronic and I did finish writing a lot of the drum programming of Heart Remains in Paris as well, and also Modern World. I started to kind of go out and listen to a lot of like French electronica and electro, and the French do that music very well, from Justice and Daft Punk and whatnot. So I think some of that started to feed into some of the beats I was writing.
Yeah, and let's touch on that track, Modern World. You just mentioned it before. There is a thread through this record. I mean, if there is an overall theme of what Voyager is trying to do, it's you trying to make sense of the modern world, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think my relationship with hip-hop I've never been a huge purist for the form or trying to sort of recreate what my favourite rap records are. I've sort of always viewed it as a kind of modern folk music, and I think, the experience of travelling and then definitely coming back and writing lyrics to the record was trying to put myself in the headspace of writing kind of folk music for globalisation or something, like, try and make sense of the extreme poverty and privilege and beauty and history and everything and filter it through something, which was my framework. Not try and make it too big, but make it personal and make it make sense for me.
Overall, do you think it's more pessimistic or optimistic about the human condition in this day and age?
The writing now?
When you listen to the record or when you kind of look at the perspectives, I was kind of thinking about this when I was listening to a lot of the material, whether there's an overall positivity to the stuff or whether there's still that sense of we're really going down some pretty bizarre avenues in human life.
I think musically, I feel it's a really positive record, and then I think I've juxtaposed with some pretty dark concepts lyrically. My own personal view is I'm pretty pessimistic about the human race as a kind of how we're treating the planet and whatnot, but on the day-to-day, I feel pretty upbeat.
Glorious Feeling. Let's touch on that one and let's conclude the conversation with that track, because that's the first one that we've been playing the most off this new record. And I don't see it necessarily as a pro-religious track, but some people who have been hearing this track think that it is.
Really? That's interesting. It's funny because I don't even know if it falls on a side of pro or not pro. It's the idea... maybe more, I think when I was writing it, the idea was coming from, rather than God making man in his image, it's more man making God in his image, his or her image. And the first sort of few lines outlay God as quite a bureaucrat. So it's more of a, if God gives up on humanity and humanity gives up on God, it's quite a liberating experience for both. And, you know, with that in mind, I have a lot of respect for everyone's faith and whatever they need to, people need to believe in, or what gets them through the night, or what they put together as reality through you know, these stories, I find fascinating, and I hopefully am quite respectful of, but I personally find it verging on ridiculous most of the time. So I wrote a song about it.
And here it is right now. This is Glorious Feeling. Joel Istick, good to talk to you. Well done with this record. And
Thank you,
hopefully we'll see you on the live stages a lot over the rest of this year playing some of this material, because it's terrific. From the album
Excellent.
Voyager, this is Joel Istick and Glorious Feeling.
Based upon the data that I've had to face, you really made a mess of the place that I made for you. And then you turn around and you ask me to save you. Jews blame the Christians, the Muslims. Atheists admitted they were wrong but right. The Pope said, well, I guess that's that then. Collectively, we all breathed out a sigh. All of the damage that religion had done was put into perspective underneath the sun. And God said, faith is a beautiful thing, but it's time for you to take responsibility, kids. Cause I don't know what you've been told, but the streets of heaven aren't lined with gold. You don't know what you've got until it's gone.